And God somehow. Okay, yes. Today's daf is daf Lamed Zayin. That's for all of you lazy bones. It took so long to get here. And yesterday we learned the amazing sheet of Rabbi Yehuda. That Ein Sukkah Noheget. Let's go down there to the bottom once again, just chazer briefly. That Ein Sukkah Noheget Hela Barba Minim Shibululav. That you cannot make a sukkah unless you use the same four minim to make the sukkah. So in other words, your schach has to be made out of the same ingredients that your lulav is made. Thank you very much. Vadin notein, and it's a kal v'chomer. Uma lulav she'enu noheg b'leilot kibyamim. Enu noheg ela ba'arba atminim. Sukkah she'noheget b'leilot kibyamim. Enu din shleitei ela ba'arba atminim. Because we find that the sukkah is more chamor than the lulav, because the sukkah is a mitzvah at night as well as in the day, whereas the lulav is only a mitzvah during the day. So nonetheless, the Torah is makbid on this lesser mitzvah that's only in the day to make sure that it's limited to these four species. Kol shekein the sukkah should only be made of the same four species. Omru lo, kol din shatadan tchilato lachmir v'sofo lakel, eino din. Making a kal v'chomer, which by definition implies that we're learning out to the mor chamur din, a halacha which will make it better kept, is not, if it ends up becoming lesser kept, then it's not a proper kal v'chomer. Lo matzar ba'at minim. And what if you don't find a correct four species to put on top of your sukkah? Yeh yoshevu batel. What are you supposed to do? Not build a sukkah at all. V'atorah amra b'sukkot teshvu shiva'at yamim. And in using b'sukkot, it's saying sukkash of kol davar. It doesn't matter what it's made out of. Obviously, this argument is based on itself. It's something about tautology. I mean, given that I've already decided that Basukot tells me that you're chayev to have a sukkah made out of anything, your kal v'chomer is ridiculous. I mean, if I don't have that given, then the kal v'chomer, of course, is perfectly okay. V'chein be'ezra omer. Now, I'm sorry, but I forgot to mention to you, so I should have said it before. Rava. All of this is being brought as part of the Raya of Rava, that even though Rabbi Yehuda says that you need to have a sukkah that's made out of these specific minim, he doesn't mean literally out of the very same things that would be kosher for the lulav. He means from a palm. But any part of the palm would be kosher. Even the burlap type growth around the bottom, or the actual wood of the palm. Same thing is true of the other meaning, by the way. You could ask, why does Rava even need a proof that that's true? Right now the Gemara is trying to prove that Rava is correct. In other words, he's trying to show that Rabbi Yehuda didn't mean literally, you have to have a sukkah top full of kosher lulavim. Boy, that's all we would need, right? Can you imagine? But any part of the tree is good. You could ask that that's obvious. Because since one of the arba minim is an etrog, and an etrog being a fruit is mekabel tuma. So if it be mekabel tuma, we possible for schach. So how could we possibly think he means the literal etrog? He must mean the wood of the etrog. So same way he means the wood of the etrog, he could mean any part of the tree of the lulav. It's interesting that the Gemara ignores that possibility. So there are some indeed who want to say that no, actually Rabbi Yehuda meant the real peirot. So say, how could you have peirot that are not mukhshar lekabel tuma, in which case that's not so poshut. Not mukhshar means it was never exposed to water from your will. So in that case it would still be kosher for the schach. Okay, others say something that is miyuchet for sichuch is no longer called an eichlin at all, so it wouldn't be shaykh to be mekabel tuma. But then maybe he really did mean the act, or maybe he held that since the Torah is marbe specifically the etrog, so the etrog would be kosher, whereas other things would not be kosher to mekabel tuma. Those are three approaches that are used. But lemaisa, we couldn't prove it from that. So we're trying to prove it from the following. First, we bring the braita that brings the machloket, And then we'll see in the context of the discussion in the Braita that obviously Rabbi Yehuda was referring not to the actual lulav, but to any part of the tree. And this is going to be our proof. We had to stop yesterday because it went on for a while. So we stopped right in the middle. V'chein be'ezra omer, and says Rabbi Meir, how could you even believe such a thing? It says b'feirush in Ezra, tzu'u ahar, v'haviu alei zayit. Last I heard, a zayit is not kosher for the lulav. V'alei ayitz shemen, v'alei hadas. What are you going to be using here? Beech trees and olive trees, and alei tamarim, and alei etzavot, and then take all of those things, lasot sukkot, in order to build sukkot. So this was the sukkah that they built when they came back from Babel, and they made a special meeting and sent around messages how it is you're supposed to build your sukkah. Now they told everybody scatter to the mountains, there were no local, because of the churban, there were no local trees, bring back things for the sukkah. So how can Rabbi Yehuda explain, according to his shita, that they were building sukkot out of olive trees? For Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda would have to insist that those trees were for the tfanot, the first two trees, the alei zayit and the alei et shemen. That was a reference to wood that you would be using for your walls. And then the continuation of alei hadas, alei tamarim, and alei atzavot, that indeed was the only thing that was kosher for the schach. So far we have no proof to Rabbah. Continues. Utnan says, Rabbah, now put that together with the Mishnah. The Mishnah we had earlier said, Misachachin ben Isarim, you're allowed to use boards for schach, divi Rabbi Yehuda. So if you can use boards for schach, then I'm confused. I thought he said the boards were only good for the walls of the sukkah. And you have to use a lulav. So how could he now? Oh, Alma, sieve the ikra de dikla mina de lulavahu. Because what he seems to be saying is, take boards of tamarim. That, he wasn't saying take the lulav from the tamarim. Because if he were, how could he possibly say use a board? Lulav is never a board. So therefore, it must be that what he meant in analyzing the pasuk in Ezra is take this type of wood to use for your roofing, but it doesn't mean take the lulav from this type of wood to use for the roofing. So if that's the case, you could take any part. What do you have to take the wood? You could already take the burlap around the bottom. And therefore, he certainly didn't mean specifically the lulav. Asks the Gemara, is it true though, Miyomar Rabbi Yehuda arba'at minin in midiach rini lo? Did Rabbi Yehuda really say that you can only use the arba minim? Here he mentions using boards of cedar. Boards of cedar, this is problematic. Boards of cedar, both Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda agree that that's no good. If it has four tvachim, but if it's not four tvachim, why? Rabbi Meir posel, Rabbi Yehuda machshir. Umoda Rabbi Meir Shim Yesh Beineser Leneser Kamaleneser Sheminiach Pesel Beneim Ukshera. Now, we had all this earlier. If you recall the Machlokis over there between Rav and Shmuel, how to understand the Shitas of Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda, whether the Machlokis was on the area between three Tvachim and four Tvachim, or Dafka four Tvachim. Okay, according to one man, the Omer, everybody's might, even Rabbi Yehuda, that it would certainly be Pesel Arba Tvachim. The only Machlokis is between three and four. Whatever. What's important to us is the fact that it specifies over here cedar boards. And Rabbi Yehuda is saying cedar boards are kosher. Now, cedar boards are certainly not the type of tree that you use in the lulav. Answers the Gemara, it's not true. You use cedar in your lulav. How's that possible? Get a Rabba Bar Avuna, because Rabba Bar Avuna points out, and he said they say in the Beis HaMedrash, that we can see from the Pasuk, the way that the Pasuk uses the word cedar, and then always has a list of other species together with cedar, and cedar is always the beginning, it's clear that it views all of these other species as being understood as part of the general rubric called Erez, which doesn't mean it's part of the botanical family of cedar necessarily. that the word Erez refers to all these type of trees. So if you have an evergreen tree in which the leaves run up along the actual branch, that is similar to the Hadas, where the leaves run up along the branch, even though obviously they're very, very different in every other way. And overall, the Torah refers to all of them as Erez. And we see in the Pasuk that it actually mentions the Hadas together with cedar. Asara mine arazime, we find in Tanakh 10 different types of trees included under the umbrella cedar. Shenemar etain, actually shouldn't call it cedar, because now we're saying that Erez is a broader term than the English cedar. So, but the type of thing called Erez is Erez, Shita, Vahadas. Okay, so Hadas now is also a type of general Erez. And according to Rabbi Yehuda, that's what boards of Erez are referring to. Boards of Hadasim. I ain't never seen a Hadas bush that's got a board, but it's got to be a very big Hadas bush. 4 Tvachim. Right, but they always begin with the word Erez, which means that apparently Erez is Erez and all of these under Erez. Fine, okay, that's already how to learn the various psukim. This is a Gemara that occurs in many places. Rabbi Meir Omer, so getting now back to the Mishnah. Rabbi Meir says you can use anything to tie your luluf together, even twine, filum b'mishicha shel Erez. Tanya Amar Rabbi Meir Maasebi Kira Yerushalayim Shoyogdimit Ulavayim Begimoniot Shel Zahav. I know that I'm right, because I know that in Yerushalayim people used to use gold bands, real gold, to tie their lulavim. And according to Rabbi Yehuda, if you use anything besides the four types that are kosher for a lulav, it's no longer kosher as a lulav. So gold is not one of the four species. So therefore, it should be possible. So you see that I'm right. Amrulo, so they said to Rabbi Meir, Misham Raya, how can you bring a proof from there? Not all that glitters is gold. So the top looks like gold, but underneath, beneath the gold, they had simple branches of lulav that were being used the way we use them. Just on top, they decorated it with gold. A decoration is not considered to be a husafa of a min. Because it's not part of the agad.
Is it not part where they hold? They don't hold it.
We'll see. We'll get to that. Omalu Rabbi Lahana Magadli Hoshana Devereish Galuta. This is an interesting point now that's being raised by Scott, which is the Gemara's next piece. Did they put this in the place where you'd be holding the lulav? Because then we run into the issue of chatzitza. Oh. So Rabba said to the people who were making Megadle Hoshana, we saw that in those days they called the lulav Hoshana, what we call a lulav, the bound together three species. So the people that would work on making the lulav in the house of the Reish Galuta and binding them together, he told them, look, Kigadlito Hoshana de Reish Galuta, when you make a lulav for the Reish Galuta, Shire Be Beit Yad, don't cover the bottom part. Leave place for them to hold on to the lulav with their bare hands without anything in between. You don't want anything between your hand and the actual lulav. Because it says, which means that you yourself have to be in touch with that lulav. Whereas Rava says it's not a problem. Because if you're making something which is the decoration of the mitzvah, to make the mitzvah more effective, how could that be a chatzitza? That becomes part of the actual mitzvah itself, and that is the lakich of the mitzvah. The Yomar Rabbah, another thing that Rabbah said, is lolin kedina shoshana besudra, debeina lakicha tama v'leka, ulekachtem. We say, to darshan that word earlier, lakicha tama, complete holding. If you take a handkerchief and hold the lulav with that handkerchief, it's not a complete holding. So, and therefore, you can't carry the lulav using something in your hand. Whereas Rava says it's not a problem. Lekicha yedei davar acher, shma lekicha. Taking something while holding it with something else is considered to be a direct lekicha. Now, of course, it's very problematic because it seems now that we're ignoring the chatzitza issue completely. What is this new question over here? A handkerchief should definitely be, certainly not lena'ota. Everybody seemed to agree before that it's a chatzitza. So now you're saying, but if you're using something else to hold something, that's called picking it up. Fine, it's called picking it up, but it's still a chatzitza. There's something between your hand and the lulav. How are you ignoring that issue, the previous issue that disappeared?
Make a difference whether he wants it there or not.
It says he wants it.
That's what I'm saying. The chatzitza is if you don't want it.
Why? You wanted it before for the aga too?
No, I'm saying that in that
But case. both cases were, it was the agat was for the tzarech, and the handkerchief was for the tzarech. So Tosfos, we had this discussion before in Yuma, in another context. Tosfos' overall shita throughout Chas is that holding something as a beit yad for something else, something which now contains another thing, is never an issue of chatzitza by definition. It becomes an extension. It's like we find by Yochas Tum of a tyrant, Yonam of Yodites, and so on. He understands the case of the handkerchief over here is that the handkerchief was twisted, made into something that you put the lulav into and now hold. Not a covering for your hand, a covering for the lulav. So it was a covering for the lulav, now it becomes an extension of the lulav and can't possibly raise the issue of a chatzitza. If there's something that you're not using to hold the lulav and it's just in the way, then it's a chatzitza. But if it's the mode by which you hold, then by definition it's not a chatzitza. He gets into all kinds of questions from other Gemara's famous story that we had before about Yisachar, the Kohen Gadol, who used white gloves to handle, you know, is that called Lekicha Yideacher? Or since he was coming to protect his hands and not the behemah, so therefore that's truly Lekicha Yideacher. Plus it's Bizoyan of Kachim, his Mashbi doesn't want to lower himself to get dirty with the behemoth of Kadesh and so on. But it's a fascinating sugya. Not everybody agrees with Tosfos' approach. The Rambam has a very different approach in which he understands that it's only if we've answered the chatzitza problem that we deal with this din of lekicha. But the gold wasn't there for a handle. According to Tosfos, if the gold is there for a handle, it's fine. Yeah. Omar Rava says, Rava, I can prove to you that holding something with an extension of some sort is not a problem. So that lekicha yidei davar acher, shema lekicha, I'll prove it. It's not, it says in the Mishnah, hey zov katsar, suppose you're supposed to use now hyssop, hey zov, in order to sprinkle the paraduma water on somebody. Now, the way that they would transport this water was they would have tubes that were made out of tin. They were rather deep, were easily sealed and carried around. You'd be able to carry it from place to place. You had to dip the hyssop into the water in order to be able to sprinkle it. You couldn't just pour it out on. So what if the hyssop isn't long enough? So what do? Ezov katsar misapko. You make it long enough. Bechut ubekush. The Rambam learns bechut ubekush, and that's the best way to learn it. That bechut ubekush is one issue. A kush is what they would use for spinning threads. So it was that long piece of wood. You just gave it a spin, and the mass of the wood provided the energy to keep spinning. Right? So now, it always has a little bit of mishicha, a little bit of chut that's still attached to it. Cut it off, tie the string around the ezov, so now you control the ezov with this extending kush. Others learn, some of them are farshim, try to say that these are two different cases, that the mishicha is just tie a string onto the ezov and lower it into the cylindrical koneh. The problem is that then you have no control of lekicha of the ezov at all. Gravity is what's moving the ezov, not you. That the Rambam, that has nothing to do with lekicha yidei davar acher. We need for you to be holding the ezov. But how do you hold the ezov? You tie it. So if you tie it, it's now attached. By the way, there's some who bring a raya from here, amazing raya. Some who bring a raya from here, that if that's the case, then if your lulav, if your esrog was in two pieces, you could tie it back together again. It would be considered to be mechubar. With a chut. Because we see over here he views it as extending it into one piece. No, it's only there in order to hold it together. Which relates to the super glue issue. A lot of people use super glue to keep their lulav together. Because when the lulav starts splitting and the top starts coming apart, if you put a little super glue on the tiyomet, it prevents it from any further opening. Then you don't have a problem of nechlekat tiyomet. It actually works beautifully. Doesn't damage it at all.
For biur chametz, one wants to be careful.
Oh yeah, it might explode in your face. Sure. So, now I ask you, how could that be kosher, says Rava? Am I? V'lakach v'taval amarachmana. Doesn't the Torah say you have to be holding that ezov? How are you holding the ezov? You're holding the kush. You're not holding the ezov. El alav, unless you're willing to accept that I'm right. That shma mina lekicha ayadei davar acher shma lekicha. See? If you're holding it by an extension is viewed as holding the thing itself. So therefore, don't give me this stuff about the lulav, that if you have something to hold it with, that's not holding the lulav. If it's holding the ezov, it's holding the lulav. Says the Gemara, wait, I don't understand. How does that prove it? Maybe the point over there, mimai, Dilma shiny awesome kivan de chavre kegufe dami. It's because you've actually connected it with the string. I should have waited till here to tell you about the esrei. The proof over here is that the chibur is considered to be all one piece with a string. As you see, it's considered to be a chibur. Yeah, so that doesn't prove anything. Okay. A little bit more, and I'll prove it to you. Elamiyacha. Nafal mishvoferet l'shoket. You had now the water that you were going to mix with the ashes of the parah aduma. So the water is inside this container on the ground. You're supposed to be now shaking out some ash into the water. If it falls from the shvoferet lashoket without your shaking it out, then it's possible. You have to be the one that makes it fall. But suppose he would allow it to fall. The problem over here is that it happened by itself. So a monkey took it and let it fall. The wind blew it over and it fell. But if you would turn it over and it would fall, despite the fact that you didn't do any act, you didn't hold the actual ash and put it into the water, it would be perfectly okay. So if you turn the shofaret upside down, that's fine. It's kosher. Why? Does not the Torah say beferish v'lakhu latame me'afar srefat apara? Take from the ash. What do you mean take from the ash? In other words, you have to hold it and put it into the water. So apparently holding it by holding the container is called holding it. There you go. So you see from here, el alav, shma mina lekicha yedei davar acher, shma lekicha. That proves my point. Others you can't disprove me on. V'yomar Rab, another thing Rabba said, don't take your lulav and push it into the other two minim. What people often do is in order to put things into water, they pull their lulav out, put the lulav into the water. The next day, they take the hadasim and the aravas that are still connected to their little, the kaishalach or whatever they're using, and they stick the lulav in. Now, often when you stick the lulav in, you tear out the leaves of the hadasim and the aravas. But if you do that, so lo loduch inish lulava baoshana, don't force the lulav back into the combined lulav and hadasim and aravas that we call oshana. The dilma natri tarfi, because you may rip off some leaves. Now these leaves get caught between the hadasim and the lulav and the aravas and the lulav. But that would mean that your aravas and your hadasim are no longer connected to your lulav. And therefore, it would be a chatzitza. To which again, Rava replies, this is of course the problem of the kaishalach issue. So some people don't like to use that because they say, no, so then you don't have your hadasim and your arov is connected to the lulav. They're stuck into this little container that isn't really attached to the lulav. So it says Rava, but how can that be a problem? since the keshalach, and in this case, whatever you're making the agad with, are made out of the same material, how could they be a chatzitza? Min b'mino eino chotzeitz. Another thing that Rabbah says, a lot of problems between Rav and Rab on this page. Another thing that Rabbah said is like this. You made your lulav. It's a very interesting case. It happens quite often, actually. You make your lulav, and now you have your hadasim, your aravas, and your lulav are all bound together. You take your plastic container, unzipper it, and attempt to put in your lulav. It just happened to me. Somebody brought it in. They couldn't get the lulav in to the container because it turned out it was too long. So now you take a clipper and you clip the bottom of the lulav. And now it fits. But the problem is when you clip the bottom of the lulav, there's branches, leaves of the lulav that are now not attached to the lulav and they're sticking up and they come between the sides, the hadasim and the aravos on either side. Now they're just loose leaves and you left them there. So therefore you're going to end up with the same problem. So you end up leaving leaves of the lulav, and now that's a chatzitza. And again, of course, Rava says, you have this hang up about chatzitzas. Amin b'mino. Min b'mino eino chotzeitz. How many times have I said it? What's the problem? What's the problem now? Is that one or two?
This is already three.
It is three?
If you're cutting it off after.
By the way, I got some emails already.
Yeah?
Thanking me for the new rule. That's a great idea.
Okay. If you're cutting them off once they were connected and it wasn't the chatzitza.
I should thank Scott, but I won't say that.
So if you're cutting it off after the fact when it wasn't the chatzitza, when it was part of it, doesn't that make a difference to the other one?
Yeah.
Do we pass them like this?
Yeah.
So it's okay to cut off the bottom.
That's eino chotzeitz. Yeah.
Yeah.
V'yomar Rabba. Hadash shel mitzvah asur la'ariach bo. You should not smell your hadasim. Interesting halacha. Why is that? We'll see in a moment. Etrog shel mitzvah, but the etrog, if it smells very good, mutar l'ariach ba. There's no problem. Why is this? My time. Hadas l'reicha koi. The main purpose of the hadas is clearly not for eating. It's as a good smell. So therefore, when you set it aside to use as a mitzvah, you set it aside from its fundamental purpose to turn it to the purpose of mitzvah. Therefore, when you go ahead and use that hadas for the other purpose, you are now being over on that haktza'ah. Haktza'ah is the same lashon as mukta, and it's the same, basically, same term that we use for set aside. This is what I've meant for this purpose. Here you've meant it for the mitzvah, therefore you cannot now take it and use it for another purpose. But the etrog, an etrog essentially is a fruit. Its main purpose is for eating. If you set it aside now for the mitzvah, it means not to be eaten, but to be used as the mitzvah. So if I'm smelling it, that's just an adjunct to its use. It's not called a violation of its primary purpose, which has here been set aside for the purposes of the mitzvah, which, by the way, raises a real problem. Because we had the story before about Reb Chanina who bit into his esrog and then he used it. Ooh. How could he bite into his esrog? Forget about the problem whether the esrog is kosher. There's the problem of the esrog was uksel mitzvosai and therefore he wasn't allowed to eat it. It's still not. It's muktzah for all 7 days. The haktzah is given for 7 days. What do we do about that? Later on, Tosfos, 5 days from now, asks this question. And it's interesting, there's Rabbeinu Avraham ben Arambam who also talks about it. So Rabbeinu Avraham ben Arambam simply says like this. I mean, you've got to be kidding. You don't really think that Reb Chanina bit into his esrog and then he used it for an esrog. Is he crazy? You wouldn't do that. I mean, nobody who cares about a beautiful mitzvah is going to do such a thing. What's he trying to do? So obviously what happened was that he bit into a esrog, which he was going to then use, and then discovered that his other esrog either fell and its pitum broke off or whatever. So now the shaila is, he ended up not having his other esrog. Now he had to use that esrog. But initially, he hadn't set that esrog aside for a mitzvah. Otherwise, the whole Gemara is ridiculous. Rabbeinu Avraham ben Arambam, the Rambam's son. Right? Tosfos says, it could be talking about, that he had numerous esrogim. so that there wasn't particularly one that was going to be used for the mitzvah. He ended up biting into one and then determined that he would use this one. He liked the way it looked and so on, but everything. All right. We have the same halacha, the Amar Rabba. Hadas b'bechubar. We have the same halacha when it comes to the issue of Shabbos. If you have a hadas on a bush, can you smell it on Shabbos? Or are we afraid that you're going to pick it? So if the hadas is mechubar, there's no problem. You could smell it. Because you could smell it equally well, whether it's on the bush or not on the bush. But an etrog b'mechubar, you can't smell it, because you might get turned on to the etrog and then decide to eat it. And of course, even if you eat it while it's on the bush, that usually has a tendency of removing it from the bush. And therefore, that would also be a ketzira. As a matter of fact, Rashi says, that's absolutely the ultimate ketzira. Which is interesting, because you think maybe that's Shaloka Darko. But anyway, we're geyser, don't even smell it, because you may come to take it. My time. Hadas talariach koi. Hadas, where the whole purpose is smelling, yisharitale. If you allow him to smell it b'mechubar while it's attached to the ground, lo atile b'gzaya, why would he come to cut it? He can still continue to smell it. But in etrog de la achila koi, yisharitale, if you allow him to smell the etrog, atile b'gzaya, he may cut it by eating it or to eat it. The Omar Rabba, one last important thing that Rabba tells us is carry the lulav in your right hand and the etrog in your left. Because the right is always a sign of greater chashivut, and therefore, since the lulav consists of hanitzlata mitzvot, v'haychoda mitzvah, one, your right hand should be holding that part of the lulav that has three separate meaning, because that's three parts of the mitzvah. Whereas your other hand is only going to be holding the etrog. So the etrog, even though the etrog may be beautiful and expensive and so on, but still it's only one-fourth of what you're doing, and therefore it goes in your left hand. There's a very interesting machlokas about what to do if you're a lefty. A lefty is called is an iter yad. So the Baal Ha'itur, which has nothing to do with being a Baal Iter Yad, but surprisingly, it's the Baal Ha'itur Shita, it's easy to remember, is that an iter yad, nonetheless, would certainly hold the lulav in his right. And that this has nothing to do with issues like tefillin and so on and so forth, or which direction of the street you're driving, depending on which country you're in. Because over there it's halacha of your weak hand that the Torah is defining. That's something else. Over here it's a din and an objective chashivut. That objective chashivut of yamin is not necessarily because you control your yamin. It's because in general the yamin is viewed... Huh? My meaning. Yeah. I'm sorry? Mi yaminot, but that could be that HaKadosh Baruch was a righty. It's like, but what happens if you're... I mean, that's what the other Steiner. So obviously, HaKadosh Baruch was a righty. I mean, if he's a male, he's certainly a righty.
So why didn't we use this to knock out the Kol V'Chomer? Why couldn't we use this? The Kol V'Chomer we knocked out was the day and night of the Sukkah. Yeah. Why couldn't we knock it out and say, Lulav is four mitzvahs? The Sukkah is only one. So you have no Kol V'Chomer.
No, it's four parts. That's what it means. So this is the Yitzhak. Sorry, can't. No, it's a Balmum.
Sorry.
Yeah.
I have a fair amount of lefties in my family. And it was always...
Don't tell them.
It was always understood that lulav in the left hand and the right.
So let me finish. That's how the Shulchan Aruch Paskins. Shulchan Aruch Paskins like the Bala Yitur, according to which you should always have the lulav even if you're lefty in your right hand. However, the Ramah does not paskin that way. So what happens is that the Sfardim end up doing like the Shulchan Aruch. Of course, the Ashkenazim do like the Ramah. There's an interesting story of Reb Shloime Zalman. Reb Shloime Zalman, because everybody looked at him and would paskin based on what he was doing.
He was lefty.
So he said the Rav of a Shul L'chvei de Kehila should for sure do the Shulchan Aruch Tzak. Because otherwise it's very bolate. Why is it in his left? They already start clearing and so on. See, he should not draw attention to his being any different. And he should actually carry it in his right. He should rely on the right. Which means that he held it, Mi'ikra Din, obviously held it.
I would have thought that just for the sake of understanding of the different halacha, he would have said.
So apparently, his shita was.
Yeah. And the following was tefillin you keep on.
No, it's nothing to do with tefillin. Nothing to do with tefillin. Amalei Reb Yirmiyahu Reb Zreika. Ma tam lomer vachinan el al netilat lulav. How come the bracha is al netilat lulav? Why not mention the various things? I mean, why only the lulav, which is one of the four ingredients that you're doing? Ho'il v'gavua mikulam. Because it sticks up higher than all the others. So hold the esrog up higher than all the others. What's the big deal? So v'lik be'ele etrog v'livrech. Why not hold up the etrog and make a brach on the etrog? I didn't mean it's high. Come on, man. I mean, ho'il v'mino gavua mikulam. I mean that the palm tree, the whole point of a palm, is the way that it extends upward. It's so beautiful, it shows itself, and that's a particular mila of the min of the lulav. That's right. So it shows itself more than the other minim. Heichan hayu mina'anim. Where did they used to shake the lulav? The Gemara is going to say, who said they did shake the lulav? A strange way to begin a Mishnah. I mean, tell me, Minanim et halulav, say, and where did they shake the lulav? As if that's a given. I mean, for sure they had to shake a lulav. But where do you shake a lulav? Behodu la Hashem trilavisov. There's one, of course, when we read it from the Siddur, you tend to lose track of what you're doing in terms of Sefer Tehillim. Yeah. But Sefer Tehillim begins with the hallelujah, Hodu la Hashem kitov, and ends with the Hodu la Hashem ki tov ki de'olam kasto. It's got a Hodu at the beginning and a Hodu at the end. That last Hodu at the end that we repeat is part of the same Tehillah. So do the Hodu at the beginning of the Tehillah, the Hodu at the end of the Tehillah, and also when you do Ana Hashem in the middle of the Tehillah, do Ana Hashem Hoshiana. Why Ana Hashem Hoshiana? So that Tosis explains that even though Ana Hashem Hoshiah is not the beginning or the end, and clearly we're looking for something that is definitive, so begins or ends the parak. But since the inyan of the ninua, there's a remez in the posik of the Oz Yerananu Atzei Hayar Milifnei Hashem Hilbalish Bot Haaretz. How are Atzei Yar Yerananu La Hashem? So the only thing that could be referring to, the singing of the trees of the forest, is the ninua of the lulav. And you see that kibolish potaretz, so the hoshia from midas hadin is the time at which you want to be meranen. And therefore you ask for hoshia with rinun. So says Beis Hillel. Beis Shammai says you should say it also on Hashem Atzlichana. On Hashem Atzlichana is also a level of deliverance. As I pointed out on various occasions, Hatzlicha means to be saved from a problem. Hoshia, that's Hatzola. Hatzlocha is Bichlal, not Nogei the problem. It's just whatever you're doing should be Mutzlach. So even though it's in the context of Din over here, it's even less than the Hatzala. And even for Hatzala, it's not at the level of Yeshua. Because Yeshua means deal with the problem, not deal with escaping the problem. Hatzola is escaping the problem. Hatzlach is even less because it's your own idea of what to tzchefetz Hashem b'yado yatzliach. You've got a plan for what you want to do. So there, Tainas Beit Hillel, that's not part of the Oz Yerananu. Beit Shammai says, even on Hashem atzlichana is part of the same bakasha. Omer Rebbe Akiva, look, tzofeh hayiti, b'Rab Gamliel v'Rebbe Yoshua, shekol ha'am ayum ina'anim et ulaveyem, v'heim lo ne'anu ela ba'on Hashem Hoshiyana. I was looking carefully in Shul at Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Yoshua, and I saw that they weren't really moving their lulavim around for Ana Hashem Atzlichana, even though everybody else was. Now, obviously, this is part of the story of Rav Shlomo Zalman. This is his raya. Obviously, everybody else also would have noticed. What do you mean, Sofeh Hayiti? Sofeh Hayiti means I paid very close attention and I figured it out. I mean, Any idiot can look at them and see. Hell of the pshat was they were pretending to shake the lulav because everybody else was. So they didn't want to draw attention to the fact that they were doing it differently. But I could see that they weren't doing it correctly the way they had done the Anash HaMashiach. Because I was sensitive. I wanted to see whether they actually held like Beit Shammah. And Lamais, it was clear that they only did it for Anash HaMashiach. Says the Gemara, what do you mean, Heichad Hayu Mena'anim? Where did they used to move the lulav? Who said that they used to move the lulav at all? Ni'anua. Mandar Hashmei. Whoever mentioned anything about Ni'anua, that now you're telling me where we should do the Ni'anua. First tell me to do the Ni'anua. Ah, did you forget already the earlier Mishnah? The earlier Mishnah was talking about how large the lulav has to be. So it said, Kol lulav sheyesh bo shlosha tvachim, plus, we added the vav, u'chidei l'na'ne'abo, and enough to shake. Ah, to shake. Aha, must mean that you shake a lulav. So therefore comes along now this Mishnah. Say, by the way, where was that shaking supposed to be done? Heichad b'na'anim. Now it defines where to do the ni'anua. Come heichad b'na'anim. Tznan hasa. Shtei alechem shtei kivsei atzeret. Ketzara oase. There was a din of tnufa, which is similar to ni'anua, also by the shtei alechem, which were put on top of the living kvasim during Shavuos. The kvasim and the lechem were now moved, as we'll see, back and forth, up and down, just like we do with the lulav, and which is why we're bringing it over here. So you put the two lechem on top of the two living kvasim. Meniach yadot achtem, put your hand underneath them. Umeinif. You're meinif, umolich, umeivi, male umorit. So in other words, you move it from side to side. You move it away from you and towards you. You move it up and you move it down. And what is the purpose of that? What is that a sign of? Where do we see it, first of all? Shenamar asher hunaf v'asher huram. So there's an up and down movement and a side to side movement. By the way, there are some shitas who only have forward, backwards, and then up and down, instead of all four directions. Which, because that's the simple meaning of what the Gemara seems to be saying, but everybody argues on it. There's a whole problem, some taina, that makes it a cross. They're making a cross. Up and down, and then the two sides. Looks like they're crossing themselves.
So why don't we go with Magen David?
There are some who are so complicated, it looks like a Magen David.
It's not the Magen
David. Yeah. It's meant to be. In a sense, it's meant to be, because it goes according to the spheres. Yeah. So, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, you made it just in time, President.
I went to the wrong sukkahs.
Well, I hope they fed you at every one of them, but we've got some very good food here. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, molich umevi lemisha arba ruchot shelo. So first you move it to the four directions. It says four directions. You move it to the four directions, but you're moving it directionally, horizontally, to he who owns the four directions of the earth. And here we have the wind coming from all four directions. Male omarid lemisha shamayim v'aretz shelo. B'ma'arava in Eretz Yisrael matnu hachi. The way they learned it is, why are you being molichu mevi in the direction of the winds? Molichu mevi kidei latzor ruchot ra'ot, in order to prevent the damaging ruach. And ma'aleh umorit kidei latzor tilalim ra'im. You go up and down in order to prevent damaging condensation. Om Reb Yosef Reb Yavid v'tem Reb Yosef Azvila. Zot omeret. See an amazing thing from here. Shiarim mitzvah ma'akvin atapuranut. You see from here that even the leftovers of mitzvot that are not important in terms of the actual kiyum of the mitzvah, and if you wouldn't do it, it make no difference whatsoever. You don't need to move your lulav for it to be kosher, and you don't need to do the tenufa of the korbanos for it to be kosher. The tenufa is not ma'akev at all. Nonetheless, that tenufa is sufficient to change nature and to prevent things from damaging you, even though it's just a leftover. Can you imagine? Sherei Tenufa is only Shiori Mitzvahi. Nonetheless, it's enough. Votseret Ruchot Utlalim Ra'im. The Omar Rava, the same thing that we do for the Karbonas, the Chain Belulav. It's true about the Lulav as well. Do it the same way you do the Moloch, who maybe the Malo, Morid, that you would do for the Karbonas. Believe it or not, this is the Makar of the Minhag of putting wine in your eyes after Avdolah. Amazing. There's a medrash that says that after drinking your kos of Avdolah, not the way we do it, after drinking your kos of Avdolah, you should fill the kos with water as a chaviva, so the mitzvah to drink down every last bit of wine, and the leftover water should be used to put on your eyes. Because afilu shiore mitzvah, this shiore akos, it's called. So afilu shiore mitzvah ma'akvin et apuranut. So therefore, if you put it on your eyes, so you'll prevent any damaging things from affecting you. That's what it says. Very interesting. Of course, it certainly doesn't say to put wine into your eyes. Rav Acha bar Yaakov had a different idea about the lulav. He viewed the lulav, and there's midrashim that say this, that the lulav is actually a weapon. It looks like a sword. If you get poked with one of them, and you get poked in your eye, it's not funny. So he used to say, "Dein gira be'ene de sitna." Here comes an arrow right in the eyes of Satan. So in other words, because this shows that even though the Yetzer Hara is attempting to drag us down, he can't get us away from mitzvahs. There's a medrash that says that it's a sign of victory in the Yemei Hadin. Because now you're marching with your guns, and the Sultan apparently is on the run. Right? So he wanted to make a point of it. He said, "We won." But, says the Gemara, that's not a very good idea. Lav milta, not a good idea to do that. Mishum da'ati li gruyebe. You don't really want to challenge the Sultan. I mean, there's all kinds of things he may be able to get you with. Okay, let's do our quick review. It's the Alei Adas and the Alei Tamarim and the Alei Tzavot. That's the only ones that are skach. Yet Znan Misachri Minasarim Divrei Yehuda Alma Sivi Kudadikla Mina Delulavu Shma Mina Umiyam Rabbi Yehuda Arba Minim In Midiach Minelo Vatanya Sichacho Benasarim Shel Eresh Yesh Bem Arba Tvachim Divrei Yaakov Psulein Bem Arba Tvachim Rabbi Meir Posel Rabbi Yehuda Machshir, even though it's Eres. Answers the Gemara, my eres hadas, kidarabba baravuna, the omarabba baravuna, amribe rab, asara mine arazimem, shinemar attain by midbar, eres shita, vadas. Rabbi Meir Omer, afilo bimishicha. Tanya Rabbi Meir, maasebi kire Yerushalayim. Shall you ogdiva to love and begimoni or chilzahab? Omro misham raya, bimino, you ogimotomata. Omelu Rabbalana Magadli Oshana de Vereshkaluta, Gigadlito Oshana de Vereshkaluta, Shire Bebet Yad, Kech Lotavi Chatzitza. Rav Amar, there's no problem of Chatzitza. Kolen Nauto, Enochotzitz. Vyoma Rabbal, Lolinkotina Shoshana Besudra de Beina Lakicha Tama Valeka. Whereas Rav Amar, the Kicha Yededavacher is called Lakicha Tama. Omar Rabbam, you know, I mean, a lot of Lakicha Dedavacher, Shma Lakicha de Tanat. Ezov Katsar, Misapko Bechuta Bekush Vitovel. The Omar Rabbalo lo dutz inish lova boshana. Dilmanatri tarfe ve chatzitza. Rav Amar, there's no chatzitza. Mid benino in a chotzitz. Vomer Rabba lo ligos in shulova boshana, because if he cuts it with a clipper, mishtairi hutsa vavechatzitza. V'rov amar min b'mino enechotzitz. V'omar Rabba hadash shal mitzvah atzul ariyachbo. Et rok shal mitzvah mutar lariyachbo. My taima hadash lo reicha koi ki akzaye mireicha akzaye. Whereas et rok de la achila koi ki akzaye me achila akzaye. V'omar Rabba hadash ben mechubar mutar lariyachbo on Shabbos. Et rok ben mechubar asul ariyachbo. My taima hadash lo reich koi sharita leilo ati lemigzaya. Et rok de la achila koi. Isharita layatil mikzaya, v'yomar Rabba lulav v'yamin v'etrog v'smol. My time, eh? Hani tlata mitzvah anichat? Omelei Reb Yirmiyahu l'Reb Zreika. My time, lo mevarchinan ela al netilat lulav. Ho v'gavoam mikulam, v'ligbahela etrog v'livrech. Omelei, I mean, ho lo b'mino gavoam mikulam. V'heichar yomenani, bodil Hashem t'chil v'sof, bona Hashem oshiyana, divrei Beit Hillel, v'chami omrim af ba'ana Hashem hatzlichana. Omrit, by the way, I forgot to mention, but Tosis brings over here all the various minhagim about the chazan who doesn't say the Hodu Lashem Kitov each time. He just introduces the Hodu Lashem Kitov, should he be minanea. Right, so Tosis brings that he's minanea along with the tzibur, which then became that he ends up being minanea, himself as he says it in some places. It's a different minhagim for Sfarad and Ashkenaz on that. There's also a question about whether you should be menanea when you make the bracha. Is there a chiev that part of holding a lulav is to do a nianua with the lulav? Lemaisa, there are some who say it should be a full nianua, and which is what many people do. They go all the way around. But there's also shitas in the Rishonim that say you should just shake it in its mokum. There's no molech umevi and so on. But that there should just be the nianua to show that that's a function of an etrog. There's a very cute Sma, by the way, which is adorable. The Sma points out, that this is in his Pirish on the Shulchan Aruch, how terrible it is to have a Shulchan Aruch. Or Bichlali says, to have the Torah Shabbat Peh written down. He says, if you want to see how terrible things are, he says, today we just learned this sugya. He talks about this sugya, about the Nianua of the Lulav. He says, now take a look what we had to go through hell to figure out Nianua of the Lulav. Because first I brought you three separate shitas in the Rishonim. He lists all of, he's got pages and pages, what these three different shitas are, of what, then you've got in each of these three shitas, a machlokas of four different perushim of what those shitas mean. He says, this is what we have to spend our time doing. If we didn't have something written down, which then everybody relies on and figures out, we would have a clear Kabbalah, which you're supposed to do, and that's it. We could spend our time doing more useful things.
Is this why the Abba Minim are referred to as Chokhmah?
No.
The combined workings from the Menorah is just
no. It's what we were saying yesterday.
Yeah.
That's why they're called Chokhmah, but not this. Om Rabbi Akiva, Tzofeh Hayiti B'Rab Gabliel B'Rabbi Yeshur Shekolam Ayu Menanim Et Ulaveim Ve'Heim Lo Nianu El Abiyana Hashem Moshiyana. Nianua? Who's talking about Nianua, for God's sake? No, Atam Koy. Kol Lulav Sheish Bo Shoshat Tvachim U'Chedei L'Na'anea Bo Kasher. Now, it comes along, the Mishnah say, okay, what were you referring to? Heichen Mina'anim. Tanasim Shtei Alakam Shtei Kivsei Atzeres Ketzer Ayosa Miniach Shtei Alakam Agabi Shnei Akvasim. Miniach Yadot Akhtem Miniach Molech Omevi Ma'ale Omorit Shinam Ashiru Naf Ashiru Ram. Om Rav Yochra Molech Omevi L'Mishar Baruchai Shalom Ma'ale Omorit L'Mishar Shemayim Varet Shalom. B'marra V'masrochem Rukha Babarut V'am Rav Yitzvah Rabbi Chanina. Molech Omevi Kedei La'atzor Ruchot Rot Ma'ale Omorit Kedei La'atzor Talim Ra'im. Om Rav Yitzvah Rabavin V'tem Rav Yitzvah Zvilach. Zot Omeret Shiyare Mitzvah Ma'akvin Et Apuranut. Shere Tznuf Shiyare Mitzvah. And nonetheless, Otzeret Ruchot Talim Ra'im. V'yoma Rava V'chein Malulav. Revach Abba Yaakov Mamtile Umaitile. He would move the lulav back and forth, and he would say, "Dein gira be'ene desitna." Interestingly, they bring a raya from here, la halacha, that you're allowed to talk for in between the nanuim, because otherwise, how could he say "Dein gira be'ene desitna"? So, since you already made your bracha and you were menanea the first, so at that point, it's no longer ma'akev that you're not allowed to speak. Say every time, all day long, if I'm going to holding my lulav and I'm not allowed to talk. You're allowed to talk once you did the first, the anua. V'lav milsa, mishum da'asi li'igit li'ebei.